with the Ephesians. And again, it's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Just pondering those words for a moment. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And with your In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, for whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. The second reading is from the Gospel of Mark, and it's chapter 4, verses 35 to 40. This paints a picture of each and every one of us, I think, at some points, if not a lot of points in our lives. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet! Be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I pray that God adds to the reading of this word here this morning.
Good morning. Well, it's great to be here this morning. I had the opportunity this week to catch up online to Pastor Terrell's message last week. And that is part of the reason we sang Waymaker this morning, just to be encouraged that even though we don't see things happening sometimes or feel things happening, we know that as we put the Lord first in our life, that he is working things for our good. Amen? And it's such a wonderful thing to think about, but also have as our foundation, especially in these times, in these days. And of course, we bless Pastor Terrell as he's driving out east to see his family as he's moving there. So this morning, we read some, as Mark said, some amazing, amazing verses, foundational verses to us as Christians, putting on the armor of God. And the story about Jesus calming the boat, we're going to talk about both of those things this morning. But this morning's message also is, I named it, Think on These Things, because our thinking is so important. But if I were to have an alternate name for this, a secondary name for this sermon, it would be peace over fear. Just because this is something we need in this day and age more than ever. Amen? Fear and peace, they're both spiritual forces, and they're strong in the world. And whether we walk in fear or we walk in peace, it all hinges on our thinking. It all begins in here. I heard this quote, and I have a PowerPoint for it. It says, "Watch your thoughts, they become words. Watch your words, they become actions. Watch your actions, they become habits. Watch your habits, they become character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny." Isn't that good? So many times we want to talk about a character of a person or the destiny of a person, but we need to start where the root of it. We've been talking about roots all summer as well, and the root of it begins right here in our thoughts. Because if we think wrong, we will believe wrong. If we think wrong, we will believe wrong. We need to believe in the Word of God. If we are able to do what the Bible tells us to do, and that is to put on the full armor of God. Why? Why do we do this? Well, we just read it from Ephesians, so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle, in verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. So again, in context, don't think authorities or powers of this world or rulers. Don't think government. It's not necessarily talking about that. It's talking about the spiritual world against principalities, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And verse 13 goes on to say, "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, we may be able to stand our ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand." Isn't that good? I read those scriptures and it fills me with life just hearing that. And I hope it does the same for you. Well, before we go farther, let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just fill each one of us this morning. Lord, that as we hear your word, as we go through so many scriptures this morning, that your word will be bread, will be food to our bodies, to our minds, to our spirits, that you would fill us, Lord. Be like water where we never become thirsty, because we can walk every day with you, Lord. We love you, and we welcome you into our hearts. We open our ears to be able to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I mentioned this already, but one of the reasons that I wanted to speak on this topic this morning is for you to experience the peace of God in your life. The world will try to drain every single bit of faith that you have, and that includes peace. And it's so easy in today's day and age to be able to step into fear. It feels like fear, I don't say is on every corner, but there's lots of fear in the world. It's as easy as turning the news on or anything social media. You guys know all about this, right? It's everywhere. You can barely get away. Just even if you try to get away from it, I feel like you get, next thing you know, it's easy to get into a conversation about something. Oh, I haven't heard that before. And but church should be a place where we experience peace. Amen? That's why we're here, to experience God's peace. So I want to start out reading a number of scriptures about peace in relation to our thinking. So I'm going to give a lot of scripture. If there is a portion in your notes, if you have a pen and you have a bulletin, you can write these scriptures down. But Philippians 4:4-9 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. That's a promise. The God of peace will be with you. Isn't that good? I also want to read 1 John chapter 4, 27. It says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give. These are Jesus' words. Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So I'm telling you this morning, don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Jesus is telling you that this morning. Those are his words. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. But God did not mean for us to just sit back and indulge in this peace. He calls us to work along with the Holy Spirit to restore, if you will, God's peace here on this earth. Matthew 5:9 says this, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. So a question for you this morning, how do we have peace in the middle of a storm? How do we have peace in the middle of a storm? It's easy to talk about peace when things are good, right? But what about in the middle of the storm? Are you going through a struggle? If I were to show hands, we're not going to do that. But I have no doubt that there is someone here who's going through a struggle. Maybe it's financial, maybe it's something to do with health, maybe marriage, struggle with children, a struggle with a job, maybe all of those things put together. If you are, I'm glad you're here. This message is for you. It's for all of us. Everybody's life isn't perfect, and it's easy to think that everyone else has it better. Mark said it this morning just to us as a group, if I may share, just that this is a place of imperfect people. We're all not perfect. But God, that's why we have the Lord. He gives us his righteousness. We can look to him even in our imperfection. And here's what I'm telling you. You can have peace on this earth and in your life. Why? Because Jesus came. Even if everything in your world isn't perfect. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Have you ever seen the bumper sticker? It's an old bumper sticker that says, no Jesus, no peace. And then it turns around and says, no Jesus, no peace. You guys familiar with that? That's an old bumper sticker. I think they make t-shirts out of that, maybe in the 90s. But it's so true. It's so good. No Jesus, no peace. No Jesus. If we know Jesus, we know peace. With Jesus, we can walk through life with peace, no matter what comes our way. Now, how many of you would say that a lot is happening in the world today? That's right. If I may say, I don't think I have never seen fear like I've seen it today in my lifetime. And this is what concerns me, that it's not just out there in the world. A lot of times we can think, oh, it's out there, maybe even in another country. But it's not. It's everywhere. We see it, again, on every corner. And if you will, we even see it in the church today, in a lot of churches. In Christians is what I mean. I personally believe that today is supposed to be the single greatest moment in history for the church. This is what defines us as Christians. But it will never be if instead it's the greatest moment of fear. So I encourage you this morning, don't shrink back. Don't back down. This might be a time where we do things different, especially when it comes to ministry. But this is a world we live in where Jesus need the peace of God in their lives. And people are running to all kinds of vices to fill themselves during this time, more than ever. I feel bad for people who don't know Jesus. And it propels me to share the peace of God with them, to pray for them as well. Well, I have some good news this morning. God is still doing great things. He's doing great things all over the world. I've heard so many stories of amazing things happening all over the world through missions. I had a couple of letters I want to read, but I don't have time for it. Maybe another time. Of how the Lord is reaching people, and people are coming to him. During hard times, people are open to the Lord and the message of God. Craig Rochelle in the United States, he's got the largest church in the United States called Life Church. It's based out of Oklahoma. He said a while ago that he was seeing about 1,000 people come to the Lord every single week through their services. Amen? It's good to see that people, I want to say that to encourage you. But we want to see God move in our lives, in our community, in the people around us, in our families, in our neighbors, with our neighbors. Well, I do have 3 points this morning that I want to go over. And point number one, let's start there. Storms are guaranteed, but even in the middle of the storm, you can have peace. Storms are guaranteed. But even in the middle of the storm, you can have peace. We read about this already, but we're going to read a few more scriptures. 1 Peter 4:12 in the New Living Translation says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through, as if something strange were happening to you." Isn't that interesting? Don't be surprised that this stuff is going on. John 16:33 says this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." 1 Peter 1:6-7 says, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Do you receive from these scriptures this morning? Isn't that awesome? You're like, "Pastor, you're talking about trials. No one wants to go through trials." And we don't. But that's what we're talking about. Thankfully, we have Jesus who is with us, who fills us with peace. Even if there isn't peace in the world around you, you can have peace in your heart. Now, think about what this year or even this week may have looked like. And I'm not here to talk about any of these things, but I will mention them just for the purpose of them. But obviously, this year, COVID, we have upcoming elections in our country, vaccine issues, vaccine passports, everything going on with Afghanistan. And that's not to mention many, many church issues, which I won't get into at this time. But we are in a time where the Bible says there will be brother against brother. In the midst of all of that, here's a question for you. Are you willing to seek and accept God's peace in the middle of all of this? Forget the issues and move into God's peace. Go after it. Are you willing to take the time and spend time with the Lord? Lift him up and not let anything between your relationship with God. even when the storms come. Because fear will try to work its way in every single way it can. And we have to stand against that. Psalm 42 says this, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go to meet with you, God?" That would have been a good song to sing this morning. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you." Now, David wrote this when he was being chased by his son Absalom. Not during a peaceful time. He wrote it during a time of fear, or where he could allow fear to be in. And he says, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God?" A deer, this is so interesting about deer. I did not know this, but as I was studying this, a deer only pants after it has been chased by something. It's not like a dog that just, you know, pants all the time, I guess you could say. A deer apparently runs out of water really, really quickly. And if it runs out of water, if it doesn't get water right away, it will die. So what is David saying? He's saying, in the same way that a deer needs water when it's being chased by his enemies, I need you right now, God. I need you, God, because I'm in the middle of a battle right now. When you say this to God, it allows you, the Lord to work in you, to work peace that is already given to you through his Holy Spirit that's living inside of you. That's why we can sing. Even if we don't see it, we know that you're working. Even if we don't feel it, we know that you're working. It allows the presence and peace of God, if you will, to manifest inside of us, to overflow into every part of our being, so that we can walk around and have lives and enter conversations with peace behind it, not fear. So that we can give peace to other people. We can transmit peace in every conversation when we're talking to other people. And that is what the world needs to see from the church right now. Amen? The Lord is our rock and our solid ground, not fear. And if we want to represent Christ, reflect Christ to the world, that's what they need to see. Our own family, we have been through some raging storms the past few years, including this year. And the truth is, there's many opportunities for storms to break us, to bruise us, to cause unforgiveness in our hearts. But we know who we are in Christ, and because of that, we know who our Father is. And it allows us to face the storm head on, in faith. And I believe that what the devil meant to destroy us instead is going to be the very opportunity that propels us forward. Instead of questioning God, we already know that he's got our backs because we're children of God. And that he's going to work all things out. We are his children, and it's worth putting our trust and our faith in him. Amen? Stop measuring the size of the storm when we should be measuring the size of our God. And this brings us to point number two. Don't give place to fear. Don't give place to fear. There is a difference between concern and fear. Okay? Difference between concern and fear. So, for example, if your child, one of my child, falls, hurts themselves, of course, naturally, we're going to be concerned. But that doesn't mean we're going to be fearful. We need to make wise decisions and be informed, yes, but not be in fear. Again, fear is a choice. Or faith is a choice. Fear is a choice. You overemphasize what, if you will, Satan says. You overreact to what you see. You overcorrect after the storm. When that happens, it's easy to say, I'm never getting in that boat again. Maybe it's a financial decision. Maybe, you know, it's like when you invest and you lose money. It's like, man, I am never going to trust anyone in that again. Or marriage. Marriage, what about a marriage? If it fails, it's easy to say, I never want to get married again because I'm never going to trust again. The devil will try to get you into fear. Again, fear is a spiritual force. Just like faith is a spiritual force. Ephesians 4:27 in the King James Version says this, neither give place to the devil. The NIV version says, do not give the devil a foothold. Don't even let the devil get a foothold in your heart, in your minds. Paul didn't write that to sinners. He wrote it to Christians. He wrote it to saints of God in the church at Ephesus. And what applies to Christians at Ephesus applies to us today, wherever we might be. Now, Paul exhorts believers, don't give the devil any place in you. That means it's possible for you to give the devil place and open the door for him in your life. However, it also means he can't take any place unless you let him. You see, we have been delivered from the devil's authority, from Satan's authority, through Jesus' death and through his resurrection. Satan has absolutely no power over us unless we give place to him. We let him. We are redeemed. And Satan has no dominion over us. If we will just believe and we act upon the authority that Jesus gave us in his name, we can enjoy the reality of that as well. And we can keep the door closed to the devil. And it starts right here in our thoughts. And we can be tested every single day from here to here. What's going out to the people around us? That's why the devil, that's why the Lord calls us to pray, as we've read scriptures about already. Pray without ceasing. There is no need to be defeated by the devil. He already is a defeated foe. Amen? The Bible says, again, to resist the devil and he will flee from you. In James 4. It doesn't say he might flee from you. He says he will flee from you. How do you keep fear out of your life? Well, when the devil tries to bring thoughts of fear into your mind, you resist those thoughts with the authority God has given you in the name of Jesus. It's as easy as commanding fear to go in Jesus' name. It's that easy. So I speak that over all of you this morning. I command fear to go in Jesus' name. Then we fill our minds instead with the promises of God. And we confess these promises in our mouth. They come out in our prayers and in our thought life and in what we say to other people. When you act on the word of God and use your authority to resist the devil in the name of Jesus, fear has to go. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7 says, you have not been given a spirit of what? Fear, but a spirit of power and of love. And of a sound mind. That is awesome. Wake up saying that every day, in every situation. Thank you, Jesus, that you haven't given me a spirit of fear, but you've given me a spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. We need to learn to resist, to stand up against this, to say, fear, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Doubt, I resist you in the name of Jesus. And we determine in our heart to walk in love and immediately forgive whoever might offend you. Offense so easily comes in. And that's how you keep the door closed to the devil in your life. Philippians 4:13 says, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Again, you have authority over the devil because Jesus gave you that authority. Once you get a revelation of the authority that has been given to you in Jesus' name, you won't run from these situations anymore. It's easy to just to walk in the freedom, walk in the peace that flows through you. Our ability to live free from the power of the enemy is all a part of God's plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. And that's why we celebrate the birth and death of Jesus. That's why we have communion, to celebrate all the Lord has done for us. We weren't delivered from the power of darkness because of anything we did, but because of Jesus and what he has done for us. Because he rose victorious over death, over hell, over the grave. God raised him up from the grave and gave him the name that is above every name. And that name belongs to us. And that's how we're saved. Isn't that incredible? That through the power of Jesus' name, we can be saved. It's that simple. So simple, so many people miss it. And if you have not done that this morning, today is the day to do it. Do not walk out of here without accepting Jesus into your life. Again, fear is a choice. Don't give place to fear. This brings me to point number three. More faith is a must. More faith is a must. Pastor Preston Morris, he's a Gateway pastor. He said this, the lack of fear is the result of an abundance of faith, not the absence of trouble. Isn't that good? The lack of fear is the result of an abundance of faith, not the absence of trouble. Another way to say it is fear shrinks when our faith grows. Faith grows when God speaks. How does God speak? Through his word. It's why we need to be in God's word every day. Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith grows when God is present. Psalm 46:1-2 in the New American Standard Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. Though the earth should change. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea. There's lots of change happening in the world around us. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. If I were one of the disciples in the boat with Jesus, instead of freaking out and waking Jesus up, I hope that I would have said, hey, Jesus is in my boat, so it's okay. I'm sure that there were many other boats in the water around them. And the thing is, they didn't have Jesus in the boat. Think about this for a second. The disciples were in the boat with Jesus, and they were the ones freaking out. Do you know who should be freaking out? Again, anyone in a boat that Jesus isn't in. And we are seeing this even within the body of Christ in the world today. Everyone's measuring the size of the storm when we should be attempting to measure the size of our God. To be honest, I'm not even sure Jesus was actually asleep in the boat. With that kind of storm, he must have been extremely tired. Now, I will say, I remember one time falling in a band practice. This isn't a church band practice. In my 20s when I was doing music, I fell asleep beside a drum kit in the middle of rehearsal because I was so exhausted. And we were touring and it was busy. That's how I imagined Jesus was. Either that or, like, how do you sleep when water's coming over the edge? Just saying. Faith grows when you walk in it. Fear shrinks, and faith grows when God is present. Again, if you're struggling with fear right now, can I tell you two things that you need to be doing more than anything else? Two things. One, you need to be face in the book of the Bible and feet in God's presence. I heard a pastor say it like this: overdose in the Word of God. I love being able to spend time with the Lord, put on worship music, just be able to worship. Every day we can do this. It's easy today, especially with YouTube. You can put on music, worship, and just spend time reading God's Word, being built up in faith. Remember, no matter how bad the storm seems, when the Savior is in the boat, the storm can't nearly be as bad. Faith grows when we walk in it. Faith is a muscle. Here's an illustration. I want to give you an illustration this morning between fear and faith. And anyone here like football? If you like football, this is for you, okay? Pastor Preston Morris, again, who was at Gateway, he had his son named Tyler that was playing baseball. Now, when he was playing baseball, he had four errors in a row. Now, if you know anything about baseball, one error is bad enough, right? Errors are not good, okay? We got that part. Now, one error, again, is bad, but four errors in a game, it's catastrophic. And he was crying after the third error. He couldn't even hold back the tears. He looked at his dad, and Pastor Preston said the look said everything. He said it was a look that was like, "Dad, get me out of here. I don't want to ever do this again." After the game, the dad said, "No problem. You don't ever have to play again. You can quit." Now, in that moment, fear had such a grip on his son, Tyler, that Pastor Preston explains it, that he wasn't just quitting baseball. Instead, he was quitting on life. He's quitting on everything. Several years went by without playing any sports until one day he decided that he wanted to play flag football. 11 years, he was 11 years old at this time, 6 games in, and they were playing the number one team on their league. The number one team, he says, literally looked like they drove up, like the kids drove up in their own trucks to the game. He said these 11-year-olds were big guys, and he jokes around that they had thicker beards than he does. Those are the kind of big guys that they were playing. The first half he goes across the middle to catch a pass, and the biggest kid on the team is standing right there and puts his arm out and levels him. Levels his son. He hit him right in the chest and knocked the air out of his chest. He couldn't breathe. At this point, he's fighting back the tears. In the second half, it happened again. This time, it's in the end zone when he's catching a pass. The big guy on the other team, he even got a penalty for it, and he didn't even care. He was happy. He wanted to get a message across. He was trying to send this message that we are more powerful. You're never going to get into our end zone. Stay away. This time, Tyler couldn't hold back the tears. He was walking towards the bench with that same look in his eyes that he had before when he was playing baseball. His dad had a chance to talk to him on the sidelines. He ran up and just had a moment to speak to him, to put courage into him, because he realized, again, it wasn't about just a game. It was about life. His son said to him, "Dad, I don't want to do this." So his dad, Pastor Preston, said this to his son: "Tyler, you are going to get in the end zone. And you are going to get in another chance. And it's going to happen in the end zone. And you're going to score a touchdown on this other kid. At this time, Tyler's team apparently was famous for celebrating their end zone touchdowns. When they score a touchdown, their touchdown dance, if you will. He said to him, when you get the ball and you score a touchdown, I want you to find that kid who knocked you down two times and slam that ball right at his feet. Then do the best touchdown dance that you have ever done in your life. If I said this to my son, I don't know if my wife would be quite happy with me, but anyway, sure enough, it came to the point when he got the chance. He grabbed the ball, he caught the ball, and he does exactly what his dad says. He runs up to that guy and slams it at his feet, goes boom, right at his feet, and apparently everyone was going crazy. Okay, you picture this in your mind? Now, this is why I'm telling you this story today. Philippians 1:28 says this, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. So here's the message to you. If you are staying in faith, if you are going, you are going to get a chance to shove it in the devil's face. You are going to score the touchdown in this game. Now, victory, this is the cool thing about it. Victory has already been decided. God is going to set you up for a touchdown against your enemies. Now, perfect love casts out all fear. Your father, Abba Father, doesn't just send you out playing on the playing field. He doesn't just send us out alone. He comes with us. He's there with us everywhere we go. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I want you to notice, particularly this first clause in this verse, fight. We need to fight the good fight of faith. The only fight the believer is called upon is the fight of faith. Now, sometimes I hear people say, oh, I'm going out to fight the devil. But I don't really know why they necessarily say that, because really, we're no match for him anyway, right? Why? Because Jesus has already overcome the devil. Jesus was our substitute. He was the one that defeated Satan and defeated hell and the grave in his redemptive work. I also hear people say, I'm going to fight sin. Well, I'm not. I'm telling you, I'm not going to. No, I'm going to preach the cure for sin. There is no fighting sin. I have the cure for it. Jesus is the cure. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it says in Hebrews 9:26. Again, the only fight that we're supposed to engage in is the fight of faith. And there is a fight of faith, for the text says, again, 1 Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Put on the full armor of God that we might be able to stand against every scheme of the enemy. Amen? As we close this morning, I encourage you to don't just leave here, but really ask, Lord, what are you speaking to me today? What can I do differently to allow you to allow the Lord to show up in our everyday life, to the people around us, through the words we say, through our prayer life? Again, my hope is that you leave here this morning encouraged in hope, strengthened to be able to fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of the dark world that we experience every day. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word that shows us how to live, that is our encouragement, our hope. Lord, you are the hope of the world. Lord, I pray that, Lord, for each one of us, Lord, that we might be able to experience you more and more, to put our trust and faith in you, that you are working behind the scenes on our behalf, even when we don't see it, even when we don't feel it. Lord, I pray that every person might be encouraged in their faith today, and that this would overflow to the people around, to our community, to our families, Lord. That we would be quick to forgive when forgiveness is needed. That we don't walk in pride, we walk in humility. And Lord, we're so thankful for your word, again, that does the work for us, Lord. We put our trust in you, we put our faith in you, despite what's going on. But Lord, work all things out. Continue to work all things out for good, for our good. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our life, in the life around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I invite the